If you're looking for answers in Acts, you're in the right spot. And if you need a study guide, my friend Austin's going to give that to you. So I appreciate the opportunity to share with you this morning. Some of my IM missionaries have come to heckle me probably and give me a hard time, but I appreciate them being here. I'm not as old as I look because my high school math teacher is here today, and she is definitely much younger than she may be. But and then I've got the theologian brother Danny here, so I feel very inadequate this morning that I'm just being overlooked by so many, and obviously with some of the missionaries are here. But I appreciate you being here. I don't know what you're expecting from Answers in Acts, but I'm excited about sharing with you. I failed to bring my Portuguese New Testament, but this really started about 20 years ago. Next summer will be 20 years since my wife and I returned from Brazil, and I was reading through my Portuguese New Testament, looking for some messages and where we wanted to go as a new church, and these questions from the book of Acts just jumped off the page at me, and so I just started making notes and going through it. And through the years, I preached various sermons on at least the first five questions in the book, which I spent much more time looking at. You've got a handout that covers most of the passages in the book of Acts, just a pattern that we're looking at. You can look at that. You can give it back to me when you're done if you want your money back. But so that's just a lot of, there's many notes that are there to prepare to just kind of give an overview. But why in the world would I want to do a seminar on the Answers in Acts? Well, because I just think questions are cool. And questions are important. So here's some to just kind of get our motors running. And I appreciate you being here at 8 o'clock this morning. Where's the safest place to stand outside in a thunderstorm? Now, you can answer if you know the answer, you can go ahead and respond. If not, and you don't want to embarrass yourself like myself, you don't have to say. I'm not giving you the answer. But anyway, that's just a cool question to ask yourself. How about this? Any identical twins in the room? Why do they have different fingerprints? Have you ever thought about that? They do. It's just a cool question. What does OK stand for? Some of you know that. You're smarter than myself. Does chewing gum really stay inside you for years? Since my high school teacher's here, that was always what you heard in school. If you weren't supposed to chew gum and you swallowed, it's going to stay with you forever. The answer to that apparently is no, so I'm happy about that. Do hot drinks cool you down? Brother Danny Gasperson, who's the director now of the HANA Project with IM, and myself, we spent an extremely hot week in Kazakhstan a number of years ago. I'm talking 105 plus. It was just crazy. And I kid you not, in the middle of the afternoon, it was tea time in Central Asia. So everybody sat down and everybody brought out the hot tea. And this was their philosophy that yes, a hot drink will cool you down on a hot day. Try it sometime, but it was rather interesting. Questions, answers, and acts. The Lord has given me an opportunity that whenever we return from Brazil, and I said, Lord, how can we be involved, and what would you have us do? And I said, if I can't go back to the field, please allow us to be involved in training, preparing others. In my role as the director of our field ministry personnel, the Lord's answered that prayer abundantly for sure. But I've also had the privilege over the last 10 years to take over 200 young people and adults to different parts of the world, and over 100 people to this particular house. It's called the Nate Saint House. If you remember the story in Ecuador, the missionaries that were martyred in the 50s, this is the pilot's house. It's been redone, but we get to take these individuals to that Nate Saint House every year. And it's just a surreal experience as they've left the radio room and the kitchen the same way it was when those missionary wives got that message. And some shout out to some of you that have been there with me, and what a cool experience. But when I take groups and I think about the book of Acts, there are some questions, and there are definitely some answers that we can find in that book about how we can involve ourselves in our churches and individuals and missions life. And so that's kind of why I want to share with you about Answers in Acts and some of the questions that we find there. But let me start with this. What might have been Jesus' greatest question? Anybody want to take a stab at what might you think Jesus' greatest question was? You're probably familiar with it. What does it profit a man? That may have been one of the most important questions that Jesus asked. And many times he taught that way. At times I feel like maybe I'm a teacher at heart. My wife has her doctorate in educational leadership, so she's certainly the smart one and knows how to do those things in education. But I love just having the chance to share with individuals some things that the Lord has shown me as I study the scriptures and what he would like to tell us. So this morning as we move forward, I want you to think with me, if you would, for just a moment, the beginning of the whole story in the book of Acts. You're mostly all great Bible scholars, and you know that Luke wrote the gospel and then he wrote the book of Acts. And I just wonder if there wasn't a question that the great Theophilus or the excellent Theophilus had when he was being taught by Luke and as he was sharing with him. And we don't know about his salvation story, but I wonder that as Luke began to write to Theophilus and he got the gospel, I just have to think that maybe there was another question. Luke, what happened next? You told me all about Jesus. You've told me all these things that took place. But is there more to the story? Is there a chance that he was needing to continue to confirm more about his faith and about what Luke had taught him up to that point? So what's next? And if there's a question that I would ask all of us today is, what's next? What's the next step? What's the next action step? What's the next act of obedience? Might be a place. We've heard some great messages this week about the people that we need to be searching out. It might be a purpose. I teach a church planning class every semester, and I talk about that. I believe the Lord calls us to three different things, and there are many others, of course, but sometimes I think he calls us to a people group. It may be the Latinos. It might be the Asians. It might be specific language. Sometimes I think he calls us to a specific purpose. Those that want to be teachers, those that definitely want to work with Hannah Project or teaching English. But I also think that sometimes that the Lord just gives us a world map and he says, that's where I want you to go, and I want you to find the people. I want you to find out how he can use you. So that's really the question that I begin with today and hope that you can answer today is, Lord, teach me. Show me what's next. Who are the people and the places and the purposes that you might have me involved in? But Theophilus may have asked this question, and then Luke decides to answer the question in the book of Acts. And the reaction as Theophilus here is, okay, Luke, let's go. Let's go to the next level. Let's find out what might have taken place. And so Luke answers that question in the book of Acts. Just for trivia's sake, and I think these are in your notes, there are no question marks in these chapters in the book of Acts. And I've done my best to try to make sure that whichever translation you like to read, this is a fair assessment in each of the translations that we look at. But also, there are more than 68 question marks. Yes, I took the time and I counted every one of them. I want to make sure I was prepared. There are 68 question marks there, but there are about 40 passages that you have there in your notes. And by the way, if you came in and you don't have notes, my friend Austin back there is handing out notes for you today. So, there are so many ways to study the book of Acts. And many of you have done some wonderful studies, I'm sure, or preached messages. Maybe we should study the power of the Holy Spirit that just invades the entire book. Maybe we should just study the presence and the promise that Jesus gave us that he would be with us until the end of the age. Maybe, as I did in college, one of my papers was on the persecution in the book of Acts. I didn't know much then. I don't know if I know much more now, but I can look back at that paper today and thought, oh my goodness, I got this grade on that paper. That's scary. And then the progress of the gospel. You can trace it. I think the answer to that question is yes. There are so many different ways that you can do that and take a look in the book of Acts. Should we just study Peter? Great messages. Some great homiletics there that you can look at and find out how Peter and he presented his message. Philip and Paul and Peter and the Gentiles and Paul and the Gentiles. There are so many different avenues that you can take to find out what the book of Acts tells us. When I think about short-term trips and I think about trying to excite the individuals in our churches about missions and being involved, I just love what someone shared one time. why should the greatest story of all time be boring? Why should we make the greatest story in history something that's a drudgery to try to go through? I've got an 11-year-old son. That's my greatest challenge right now, is to make sure he understands how exciting the scripture is and how exciting the life of Jesus is and what he has prepared for each of us. And sure, we have challenges. And so there are so many different ways that you may want to look at Acts, but as you know, we're going to look at it in a certain way. We want to talk about the answers in Acts, the answers that we find from the questions that we look at that are there. Here's a way to think about it. In Jerusalem, we see the apostles asking questions. With the persecution, the early church and Christians begin to disperse, asking questions in Judea. The missionary travels, ask questions as they travel out throughout Samaria. And as the gospel advances to all nations, seekers are still asking those questions. And I think we see that. And if you'll notice, the first question to the last question in the book, they're still looking for answers. And as someone told me earlier, that obviously the Sunday school answer is Jesus to all the questions that we have. And they were still looking and they were still seeking. And I trust and pray that that's our challenge today, that in our own lives, that we're going to continue to have that motivation, that others have asked the questions of ourselves. So here's the pattern. We're going to look at, and your notes talk about, I think we need to understand the context. Who asked the question? Who answered the question? And then go on, and what are the action steps? I had a Sunday school teacher. I don't want to judge all of his theological knowledge, but he always had this thing that he said every week in Sunday school class. Students, there's no stupid question. Has anyone ever heard a stupid question? Hopefully we won't have any today, but that was his philosophy. He tried to get us, bless his heart, he was just as boring as can be. And that may have been my motivation to make sure that his story, the greatest story ever, would never be boring and that it would be captivating. So this is the pattern that we can see as we look at some of these questions and as we move through the book of Acts and look at our study today. So we find out that as the book continues, these answers are revealed, and there are things that I believe we can apply in our own churches, in our own personal lives. And an interesting way to just be able to advance the impression and the understanding that our people have about how the Lord began a great work, as Luke talked to Theophilus and as he continued to move forward with that message and challenged the people in the book of Acts to see that the Holy Spirit was alive and well and working in their lives each and every day. Are we still in the habit of asking questions? I pray that we are. I know that I referred to my high school teacher being here, but it's not been very many years ago I discovered there's something called podcasts. And there's some smart people out there that have asked some great questions and just some information. Obviously, there's some information that is not necessary and that it's not beneficial, but may the Lord continue to challenge to ask that question. I've got 5 small grandchildren. There's no lack in questions, and you guys know that. But where are we turning, where are we directing, where are we leading our young people and our adults and those interested in the cause of Christ around the world? Where are we finding some of those answers? I'll never forget that there was a time in this tenure before the Lord brought me to this point that I was working at a bank, actually. And it was lunchtime, and we're in the break room. And one young lady that seemed to be misinformed, she just looked at me and she says, "Well, of course, 9/11 was conspiracy, and the Americans did all of that." Even though I was in drama classes my freshman year in college, my wife says that I'm not very good at hiding my emotions and my feelings. I didn't say a word, but apparently the way in which I looked at her, she says, "You must not be of that opinion." I said, "Good observation." Where do people find some of these things? So I went and investigated where she had gotten some of this junk in her mind. And I'm sorry if you feel that way, but we'll talk about that later. What action should we take? What action should we involve ourselves in after we face the questions here? And so that's the pattern. So let's go forward. Would someone be willing to read Acts 1, 4 through 8? Anyone be willing to do that? I thought about quoting it, but I thought it's too early in the morning to try to remember that. But this is an interesting setting when the disciples come around and they're at a table and they're eating and they come to Jesus. Anybody feel like reading that?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead and do 4 through 8. You did 1 through 4.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's perfectly fine. You set the context for us.
For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Thank you. Jesus is sitting around, and those disciples come around him, and they're all excited, and they can't believe it. All right, this is it, finally. You know, the sons of thunder, they had the question, and they wanted to know if they were going to sit on the right or the left, and then Jesus had to give them the illustration of washing the saints' feet and helping them understand that to be the greatest, you had to be the least. And Jesus had been dealing with this, but now that he's risen from the dead, they're all excited. They say, okay, this is it. We're going to get to do this. We're going to get to destroy those crazy Romans. We're all going to get to rule with this Savior that's risen from the dead. No. He said, guys, listen up. One more time. Let's go through this again. One more time. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father said, but this is what you need to understand. And then the most popular verse in chapter 1, in verse 8, he explains to them, guys, this is what you need to be doing. This is what this message is about. This is what my life has been about. This is what the resurrection is about. You're going to get the power. You're going to get the Comforter. You're going to get the Holy Spirit. And now I have this mission that I thought that I was preparing you for all these days, and now I'm going to thrust you out, and let's get you ready. So the disciples ask the question. Jesus answers the question, and the action steps are in chapter 1, verses 8. And you know that when we receive power, we're going to be witnesses. Okay? So he asks us the question, who am I responsible for? Guys, I want you to understand that the kingdom is not political, but it's personal. I want you to understand that the kingdom is not of this earth, but it's for eternity. We can go on and on. Mr. Carson Outlaw can give you the rest of this sermon because I preach this at his church. He says, why did I come to this seminar? I heard this recently. No, I'm not going to stay there, Carson. We'll go further, okay? There's so much that we can just unpack as we go here. But if we go to the next chapter, there's another question. I love the question in chapter 1, verse 11, and the disciples are standing up, and they're just gazing up into the sky, and they're just looking, and how soon is he going to come back, and what's going to happen? And the angels say, guys, go get busy. Go get busy. He's going to come back. Sometimes I wonder if we're not just still gazing up there wondering when he's going to come back instead of being about the Father's business, but we're not going to talk about that question. The next question, though, in chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, I just love the extraordinary things that happen in chapter 2. In chapter 1, he's told them to go throughout all the earth. They'd probably not gone farther than from here to cross the river, maybe. Thankfully, they didn't have to cross the Mississippi, but they hadn't gone very far. And all of a sudden, you come to the chapter 2, and again, Carson can stand up and give you this message. All of a sudden in chapter 2, he had just told them in chapter 1 that they need to go to the ends of the earth. And all of a sudden, in chapter 2, the ends of the earth come to them. 15-plus nations are listed there. And they start looking around and they say, what are these fishermen doing? How is it that we how is it that we're hearing this? How is it we're hearing this message and we're hearing it in our very own accent? Again, sorry, Carson, or anybody else who's heard the illustration. Any of you been to the Atlanta airport? Some of you? Some people don't like the Atlanta airport. I think it's awesome. I spent a lot of time there. But I think it's awesome. There are a lot of things. But I kid you not, I walk in and I can assure you that the dear young lady of African-American descent who went to work that morning did not realize she was going to have a cross-cultural experience in the Starbucks there in Atlanta, Georgia. She went to work just like she did every other day, and I got my Starbucks coffee like I tried to do if I have a chance. By the way, it's Double Star Day. Anybody know where there's a closed Starbucks? I need to get my Double Stars today. I don't know if the hotel honors it or not, but if you know where one is, Ms. Long, I'm going to need to go there. She goes to work. I order my drink. I step off to the side. I'm waiting for my coffee, and who knows when my flight's going to leave. And the young man walks in. Y'all want some sweet tea? What? Yeah, I want some of that sweet tea. Bless her heart. The third time, she said, what can I get you? Yeah, I just want some of that sweet tea. Finally, after the third time, okay, what kind of tea would you like? And bless her heart, he couldn't change the fact that he had a very heavy accent, and I'm not making fun of him or anybody else that has that accent. I'm just illustrating. She finally got tea, and then he finally made it even more clear. Yeah, I've never been to Starbucks. I just wanted some sweet tea. So she thought, maybe this will be your last time you ever come to Starbucks. There was a cross-cultural exchange there that she wasn't ready for, and I don't think he was either. These guys heard it in their very accent that they spoke from the regions of the world that they had been. Let us not forget that when our God tells us to do something, He's going to provide the way to make sure it happens. And just a few short verses later, He brings them there, these fishermen. My dad's a fisherman. There's nothing wrong with fishermen. But they just didn't really think they had learned new languages. And He did. And one of the answers in Acts is less make sure that people don't get caught up in the other story of chapter 2 that most people like to get caught up in, and let's look at the missiological phenomenon that God brings people in our path when we're obedient to Him. It's really exciting. So Peter stands up, and he sets the stage for the rest of the book, I believe, because the disciples and Peter, they tell their story, they tell his story, they tell the truth, they share the good news. They do what God has told them to do as He has moved upon their heart and their life. And I think if we were to think about that in ourselves, that we can do that. Because then in chapter 2, verse 12, they just say, my goodness, they were just amazed and perplexed at what they had just heard. And surely these guys must be out of their mind or they're drunk with wine. And then Peter stands up and gives his first message in chapter 2. These are the first five questions that you find in the book of Acts. And the answers that are provided there, and Peter stands up and gives a tremendous illustration. Acts 2:12. If my dear brother wants to redeem himself, and go ahead and read 2:12 exactly. now he has to get his Bible back out. I'm sorry. No, please. Would you please, brother, read 2:12 for us? And Peter stands up and he gives them the question, gives them the answer, and he explains it to them. But as we go forward, I don't know how many times in your life you've had the opportunity to have this question asked of you. But he preaches the message, he shares his story, and they, what do we do next? What's the next step? That means we've asked some good questions. That means we've answered the questions well. Because it says, what do we do now? And I pray that through your life, you have opened up your heart and your ears to listen. Yes, Lord. As Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. There are a couple of times in my life, a number of times, but very specific times. I can remember walking down the streets in the city that we lived in Brazil, and the Lord was blessing, and we were getting ready to rent this very, very small place that was going to hold about five more people than we already had attending our church. And just as clearly as can be, the Lord said, I think he may have said stupid, but I don't know what he said. Are you kidding me? You're going to rent this place that'll hold maybe five more people than you have right now. And this is what I've done for you up to this point. And you're going to try to rent something that you're going to only have five more people? Come on. So the Lord opened up another door, and we stepped out on faith, and we opened up something else and rented something else, and the Lord blessed. But there was another time later in life that I walked out of the juvenile courthouse in 2013. And my wife and I, we were empty nesters, and our girls were grown and in college and thought life was just peaceful. And I went to a hearing, and I walked out of juvenile courtroom, and I kid you not, God wrote this on the wall. But that's how I felt. Lord, did you write that yesterday? Is the paint dry yet? To the world you may be one person, but to one person you may be the world. And that's the first time I've ever read that without breaking up. And he spoke and he said, duh, this is what I want you to do. And you'll see my 11-year-old hanging on me most of the time the rest of the week. May we be obedient. May we help others see. May we ask the right questions and answer the questions clearly so that others are ready to come to us and say, what's next? What do we do? How can we get involved? So let's go ahead and go a little bit more quickly through this. This is kind of as a way of introduction. Another great story, I think, if you just want to pick some things out, the story of Philip and as he shows up and Philip asks the question, do you understand? And then the Ethiopian says, how can I understand if someone doesn't explain it to me? And Philip was very obedient. And the Lord told him to go to the south twice and get to the road and go to the chariot. But then we find the action steps. And these are the action steps I think we need to think about when we look at that story of Philip. And as he goes to the Ethiopian, I mean, the Lord just he just sent him there. He said, Lord, I really don't understand what you're doing. But he said, okay, I'll be available. I'll be available if this is what you want me to do. It was October 12, 1980. I did have no idea what the Lord was doing. But when he said, I want you to preach the word, this is what I want you to do. I was overwhelmed with emotion to know if that's, I couldn't handle it. But he asked me to be available. May we be available. May we be attentive. May we listen. I was embarrassed that Andrew went to work with me last week a couple of days, and the last day before we came here, our favorite food are chips and salsa, because that is a food group, right? Chips and salsa and queso. Those are a food group in our house. Went to the Mexican restaurant by the office, and I hope that he wasn't listening, but there's just three grown men that were just talking like teenage boys. It was just worthless. It was senseless. There was no need for it. I don't know who they were trying to impress. And when we left, he said, man, Dad, they were talking bad stuff. I said, yeah, I'm sorry you had to hear that. It was so sad. So I know if he's being attentive to the junk that he's hearing people say just while they're having lunch in a restaurant, I trust that I can create in him a desire to be attentive to the good things that I want him to hear. Philip was available. Philip was attentive. Are we willing to have the attitude and the ability to answer questions? Sometimes we say, man, I just can't. I just don't have the theological background. I don't have the missiological background and so many things. And if we've heard anything this week in some of the messages, let's just be available. Let's just find out where these people are. Let's just listen. Let's be able to answer their questions. Let's just be present in their lives as best we can. That's where Philip was. Obviously, Philip had some deep theological understanding and able to correspond and communicate with the Ethiopian. But those are some things that I think that we can see from this particular story, some action steps that we can take. Chapter 9, we all know the story, and I'm going to take a little different angle if that's okay. But chapter 9, we come to Paul's conversion, Saul's conversion to Paul, Damascus Road. And I want to just share some of these points with you as looking at those involved with missions, those involved with short-term trips or even salvation decisions. I want to look at just Ananias for just a second. I really want to know who's going to be the Ananias for some individuals that have just gotten dramatically saved or they've taken a mission trip. We're excited. God does some great things, but there needs to be some clarity sometimes. Those who have some maturity in the faith or maturity in this particular area, I'm wondering, can we be the Ananias sometimes, just come alongside individuals and hold them by the hand? Ananias did even more, that he gave him some instruction. We think the great Apostle Paul, he needed instruction. Well, let's remember, he was Saul. This is all new to him. He gave him some instruction. He went with him, and he prayed with him. And I do appreciate Miss Trish being here, and some of her dear friends were great disciples of mine, along with her husband when I was in high school, and just the impact that it made in my wife and I's life as she was dramatically saved in her junior year, and the Lord got a hold of my life and called me to preach. And I thank the Lord for those that walked with us in our high school years and our college years to prepare us for the life that God would have us to be involved in. We never know who might be touched by the smile that we have, by the impact that we have on individuals' lives. Adam was with us, I believe, in Ecuador a few years ago, and had a team member, which happened to be the husband of my cousin. And I kid you not, it was almost an Acts chapter 2 experience. We're sitting, and I'm listening to a Cuban preach a message in Spanish with my Portuguese, trying to take his Spanish and translate it to my cousin's husband in English. Okay, so it was an Acts 2 event. And after we went through that, he turned to me and he said, "Would you save me?" I said, "Lord, please no, I cannot save you. However, I can talk to you about the Savior who can." And he gave his heart to the Lord on that mission trip with us. And here's what he said, and it just challenged my thought process of what we say and what we do and how we act. So we're talking through the week and we're working. I think you're on that trip, weren't you, Adam?
I was on
the next one. Okay, but you're on it with another trip. You were on that, okay. He said, "You know, back in the day when you first showed up in Brazil, my oldest daughter was just destroying my life and my family. And so he's married to my cousin. He said, "We called you guys to just ask you to pray for us. And you said," and I don't remember saying it, he said, "You said, send her down here with us and she can live with us for a while." I had a 6-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. All girls, so that's another girl, right? 16-year-old that was having trouble in life. And he said, "That's always stuck with me, that you were willing to say that." I don't remember saying it. He said, "I did." And he's kept the faith. And you know what kind of Father's Day card he gets from her now every year, he tells me? Because now she's given her heart to the Lord. Every year he gets a Father's Day card from her that says, "Thanks, Dad, for not giving up on me." Man. May the Lord help us find out how we can be the Ananias in people's lives. Come alongside them, disciple them, walk with them. Paul was baptized. We need to be obedient. We need to find out those individuals who need an Ananias to be real in their lives. Just walk them through the next step. I love what my former pastor Rob Morgan says. When you don't know what the next step is, just take the next step. Just be willing to go forward And listen, and here was Ananias doing that as he came alongside Paul. And we all know Paul's story, but sometimes we forget the importance of Ananias being involved in Paul's conversion, Paul's steps, next step of discipleship, next step of understanding. And I think those things are very important for us to grab a hold of as we move forward. Then we have another very well-known story, just a couple of points that I've pulled out of this one. We've got Peter, he's praying down the road, Cornelius gets the vision, and we just see an intersection of cultures. We just see just a cross-section of how the Lord wants to use, again, the obedience of Cornelius, the obedience of Peter, and all of a sudden, the Lord just crosses their paths and some cool things happen. So, Peter asked the question, Cornelius answered the question when they come here in chapter 10, listen when the Lord speaks to us. May we be willing to listen. Peter, listen. Lord, I can't eat those unclean things. I don't know if the Lord said this, but in my house, this is probably how he said it. Shut up. Peter, just shut up for a second and listen. I want you to listen to what I want to tell you. And so he moved forward. May we look for friends and neighbors and those that we can listen to what they're trying to say. As he invites us to hear who they are and what they're going through. Can we learn from them? Can we learn some things? Can we understand some things that maybe we haven't taken a moment to stop and understand? Pray for me as my 11-year-old son moves into, sixth grade. A dad of daughters, mom took care of that stuff. I've already been told I get to do all that stuff this time. I'm not ready. Please help me. I'm trying to learn some of these things myself. And this is what Peter did is we need to learn from that. There's a missiological term that we use. We call it contextualization. We have to understand where we might find ourselves and where the people are find themselves. Philip did it back with the eunuch, and he understood where he was, and he started in Isaiah, and he picked up that scripture and went from there. Peter, understanding the context, okay, these are the individuals that I'm talking to. And then we go on with the story, and then he relates again to the Jews. Well, who are we? Peter says, who am I to deny that these guys shouldn't be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit? Who am I to tell God what to do? He understood that when he was talking to the Jews, how he needed to talk to them. He understood how he needed to talk with the Greeks and the Gentiles when he was with them. But in the missiological world, and talk to our missionaries here, they can explain to you the kind of context and the contextualization of the message and the methods and the way in which they need to share the gospel with those they come in contact with. So very important for us to be able to do that. Chapter 17 is another great message of Paul. We know that as he stands up and he begins to share the gospel, and the contextualization continues because it says that he walks through their city and he begins to see the images and the altars and the artifacts and all the things that are there. And this is another one of those passages that we can pull out of the fact that Paul was being very conscious of the culture in which he found himself in. If you take a short-term mission trip, this is one of those great passages to just talk through with your students, the individuals that you're leading, or the adults. Help them to understand the culture that they find themselves in. Paul did that. He examined the things and understood. Do that pre-field preparation. Make sure that you have those pre-mission trip meetings as much as you can. If you want any of our missionaries or myself to come and talk to you about that, or anyone else, Danny that does Hannah Project trips and others, please let us know, because we want to help your team be as prepared as possible to show up and understand the culture that you're going to be involved in. But he also had the great opportunity that he acknowledged that they were searching for something. And again, he didn't have the Sunday school answer, Jesus is the answer to all your questions. But he did have that opportunity. Thank you, Austin. He did have that opportunity to acknowledge, you guys are searching for something. And let's understand how we might be able to get you to that point. He quoted from their own teachers, and then he explained to them the facts that the Lord had for them. So this is just another one of those passages that you have. You have an opportunity to just really pour into those that are on the mission trips with you, preparation when you arrive on the field and you find yourself on that point. I'm going to take a stop. We've got 10 minutes. I've got a couple of things that I'll finish with. You may have a question. Why in the world would we have a study in the answers of Acts and not allow you to ask a question, right? Anyone have a question about mission trips or about anything IM related, things of that nature? I know it's still early. So here's the final question for us. Who is the Lord preparing? And this is in the context, if you were to read through, that more than once as Paul is shuffled back and forth between the Roman officials. And as I began to read it and was trying to just glean something from Paul being jostled back and forth, and you come to the very final question, and King Agrippa said, do you think you can persuade me to be a Christian at this time? But if you read all of the passages, there's some indication that somewhere along the way, these guys have been listening to some of the people of the way. There have been some individuals that have been speaking truth into their life. And so there's a nugget of truth there, and Paul knew that, and he begins to draw on that and gives them that opportunity. And I want us to be aware that obviously sometimes we think it's just us speaking the word. It may be you harvesting the word. But somewhere along the way, God has already gone before us. That's what he's been doing. And in Acts chapter 1, we already saw that because over chapter 2, he brings the 15 nations to them. So it's a wonderful way when you close the book and you see that Agrippa had already had some type of knowledge. Let's be ready because the Lord has already been doing the preparation. Make sure that we're the tools. So who is it the Lord is preparing along the way? Who is it that he's been speaking to? That he is getting ready to bring it across our path so that we might be able to share the truth with them. King Agrippa had heard it. May we be aware of that. So Paul knew these things because he was ready to give an answer in Acts to whoever asked a question of him. So are we ready to ask? And Peter tells us in his book to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you. And I pray that we're ready and willing to answer those questions. We prepare ourselves with those answers as best we can, and then just trust the Holy Spirit to speak through us and work through us. So back to our original questions. Do we still ask questions? Where are we going to find those answers, and what are the action steps that we take? And I hope that this handout gives you a little bit of a nice outline for you to consider as you move forward. You want to go back to your churches or your mission groups and pick out some of these passages and think about the questions that are asked. Think about the answers that are given. Think about the action steps that we want to take. I hope it sparks some interest in you to be able to do that. My prayer is this. What if the Lord wanted to do this again and again and again and again? Please stop by the IM booth. Visit with some of our IM missionaries that are in here today. Talk to us. Listen to the stories that you can hear from them. We want to know. We have a strategic plan from 2020 to 2025 to grow our mission, to continue to see 25 new missionaries come through our ranks and begin to send them to different places. If you know somebody, come and talk to us. We would love to give you that opportunity to be involved in some way, whether it's a two-year internship, whether it's career status, whether with the Hannah Project, the short-term trips, with Leslie, with the College Mission Program, and especially our high school students with E-Team. Let us know how we can answer some of those questions. We'd love to be involved with you on that aspect, please. If you would like for us to come and talk to your church or help prepare your mission group, let us know, because we would love to be able to do that. Let me pray for you, please. Father, how we thank you for your majesty and your glory. Lord, just a couple of these stories today, you have shown us how you do prepare hearts. You're doing the work and you're going before us, and you're simply asking us to be usable, willing vessels, obedient vessels, Father, for you. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless each individual that's here today. They may have a mission group. They may have a person that they're talking to and they're witnessing to. Father, I pray that you prepare them to be ready and willing to give the proper answer at the time that's necessary. Lord, may you continue to use us as a denomination to see our role in the kingdom, to see our role, Father, in sharing the gospel with those that we come in contact with around the globe. Bless, Father, the rest of our day in Christ's name. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a super day.